Hello and welcome. I'm Jake, and you're listening to Covivio Tracks, the podcast from Covivio. Economic, ecological, social, and health crises. I think it goes without saying that we are facing a challenging and turbulent context. These uncertain times are not entirely catastrophic. Crises push us to adapt, to evolve, to experiment, to question ourselves, and to innovate. In a time where profound transformations are impacting all dimensions of our lives, the idea of the collective seems more crucial than ever. This concept has been seriously challenged over the last few years. How can we continue playing as a team when work is fragmented and when we spend the same amount of time at home as in the office? How can we maintain relationships with others when borders open and close at the whim of health and geopolitical crises? When connections are increasingly digital, or when urban lifestyles lead us to limit our interactions with our neighbors? That's the focus of this multi-episode podcast, which explores how life, work, and leisure spaces can contribute to reconnecting and rekindling the collective by promoting interactions, encounters, and sharing. In this first episode, we talk with Elsa Canetti.
I'm Elsa Canetti. I'm HR director for Covivio. I've been in this position for 6 years now.
And Luciana De Laurentiis,
head of corporate culture and inclusion in Fastweb.
As we examine the concept of the collective, do we collectively act the same way we used to? And what do we expect from collective experiences today? The Collective Experience is a four-episode podcast that explores how living, working, and leisure spaces can contribute to reconnecting and rekindling collective by promoting interactions, encounters, and sharing. Of course, you can enjoy listening to this podcast on your own, or even better, with others. Whether it applies to a civic, athletic, nonprofit, or professional organization, the collective appears to be a central concept of togetherness. But what exactly is the collective? A group of people? Is it a team? It goes without saying that a gathering is not sufficient to form a collective. For example, though huddled together, passengers on a subway train cannot be regarded as a collective. But consider another example, a movie theater filled with spectators enjoying the same film. Once the show is over, this heterogeneous group will cease to exist, and each individual will go back to their own lives. However, we should consider that this ephemeral gathering is something of a collective. Although these individuals do not know each other and have been brought together only temporarily, almost by chance, they shared a common experience and emotions. For a few moments, they became a collective. So what defines a collective? What does it require in order to exist? The question is more complex than it seems. By definition, a collective is a group of people participating in a concerted manner in some enterprise. A collective can be seen as a group of people from different backgrounds who wish to join forces for a common goal. Making a collective is therefore to unite around a project whose purpose goes beyond the interests of a single individual and brings all stakeholders together. The collective would then appear to be something that needs to be built or nurtured. In the corporate world, it is sometimes customary to pit the collective against the individual. However, the boundaries between the individual, the I, and the collective, the we, are much more fluid than one might think. To understand what makes a collective today, we interviewed Elsa Canetti, Chief Human Resources Officer at Covivio, a firm that has been designing cities for over 20 years and has made relationship building its raison d'être.
You have probably noticed that the notion of collective is omnipresent at the moment in management magazines, in consulting offers, and of course, in the concerns of every company. What is mainly at stake today is talent retention and commitment. Mm-hmm. And for me, the main evolution in the concept of collective is that we go from a world where the collective was given to you in the long term. You belonged to a country, to a religion, to a social class. And we go to a world where it seems that you can and you have to choose your affiliations and identities. Mm-hmm. So clearly, the need to belong is still a strong expectation of individuals, and especially in a world of great loneliness, as we saw during the pandemic.
Far from being imposed or guaranteed, the collective, or rather collectives, we belong to are the result of choices that help shape our identity. Weakened by the COVID crisis and repeated confinements, the collective has turned into a sought-after and prized asset. Expectations in this area are particularly high. We expect the collective to protect us, to energize us, to allow us to express our personality, to carry messages or values that we hold dear. In a way, the choice to belong to a collective, to adhere to it or not, depends largely on what it brings us. And it is essential for each of its members to find an interest in it. But to be able to act collectively, the conditions of the collective's existence must be clearly defined. What are the values and principles around which the collective is built? Some people mention trust, others responsibility. For Elsa Canetti, there is no doubt. What brings a collective together is authenticity and the commitment that each individual puts into it. And this is especially true in times of crisis.
In my opinion, a performing team or a healthy team is a team where the rules, the strategic goals, the objectives are clear and shared. And I think everybody understands that now. But for me, what is also very important in a team is that each member is capable of authenticity, and you can speak to each other, you can express your needs, your fears even, and you can confront each other without questioning the relationship itself. We have gone through a very tough time, and companies whose culture was not oriented towards attention to its employees are finding it today very difficult to restart. And because many people are tired, probably disappointed, and there is this phenomenon of disengagement, which is simply the consequence of a relationship experienced as unbalanced. I give too much to my company versus what I get from the company. On the other side, you have teams which have overcome the crisis, which have continued to work remotely while preserving their collective, and which have also managed to retain the positive when they came out of lockdown. And I hope Covivio is one of them, of course.
The word collective can imply that the whole group is focused on the common objective that transcends it. But that doesn't mean discarding differences and individualities in favor of the common good. On the contrary, they deserve to be preserved and encouraged to ensure each profile is complementary to the others. Far from uniformity, it is the collective's diversity that determines its strength. However, it is equally important to know how to interconnect individuals to ensure they work in unison and in the same direction. Luciana De Laurentiis is head of corporate culture and inclusion at Fastweb, one of Italy's leading telecommunications operators with millions of customers all over the country and 3,000 employees in 13 different geographies. The company's headquarters are located in a former industrial area of Milan that has been transformed by Covivio into an innovative business district. Because people don't speak the same way in Naples as they do in Milan, and because there are different habits in Catania than in Rome, taking individual characteristics and geographical particularities into account is crucial. According to Luciana, this is what makes an organization powerful.
We might wish for a workplace in which identity concerns does not exist. As a matter of fact, they exist, and they have reason to exist, these differences. So I often talk about the importance of a people-based perspective. A people-based perspective allows me to know that the attitude towards leadership or towards a purpose-driven approach at work, towards sense of belonging, are different in different regions. So I think that a real multicultural organization is one that has a workforce that includes people from diverse backgrounds, And this background does not have to do only with gender or with other type of backgrounds, but it has to do with our uniqueness. And so we have to offer to everyone equal opportunity to grow with the company and have the feeling of one's own contribution to the company.
Among the notable developments in recent years, there's the changing individual, social, and societal expectations of employees towards the company. For employers, the challenge is significant. It is no longer just about integrating them into an organization, but rather recognizing them as individuals. Elsa Canetti, in charge of the Covivio teams, has seen HR reinvent itself with a more individualized approach to people.
In the 20th century, let's say, companies and work groups and collectives, they were designed to last with a logic of retention over the very long term. You stayed in the same company all your life, doing the same work. And really, the main challenge of HR policy was to build loyalty and standardized behavior. And today, it's not the same. Today, those who can, for sure, they move, they choose the highest bidder, they come, they go. And really, I believe that companies have every interest in becoming more open worlds. And in this regard, the role of HR is no longer just to manage the collective, but it's also to manage the individual, the personalized. And we have to invent new ways of being and working together, that's for sure. And we have to offer everyone the personal deal they need to be effective at work. Mm-hmm. It's not the same if you are a 25-year-old woman or a 60-year-old man. Mm-hmm. So to give you the simplest example.
In stark contrast to the collective management of the company, which seems to have run its course, HR departments are called to personalize and individualize their approach. This new articulation between the employee and the company, the individual and the collective, does not rely solely on the human resources manager. It also leans on managers, who act as proximity relays within the company and are able to listen to, reassure, and motivate their teams when the need arises. In short, managers animate the collective, simultaneously managing, taking into account the sensitivity and feelings of each individual, and fostering the group spirit and collective approach is the challenge FastWeb faced during the first weeks of the COVID pandemic. Because of lockdown policies, the company feared its teams would fragment and group spirit would deteriorate. While concern was at its peak, FastWeb successfully initiated a process based on sharing emotions. Luciana De Laurentiis looks back almost with a sense of nostalgia on the adventure initiated by the telecom company's CEO.
We had 3,000 people, our employees, who were working from 3,000 different premises, company premises,
wow,
which were their houses, their own houses. So we wanted to make them feel great energy. And our CEO was the first that felt that make people feeling in a company which could be near to their needs and to their emotions too. He was the first to understand it, and he was the first to share his emotion. He started recording some video selfies in his house and sharing with all company through our intranet, whose name is Agora, what he was doing to fight as a human being this unknown situation, and what he was thinking about how the company had to face this new situation. But this sharing of emotions made real something new, which was that our intranet, where everyone could write even before COVID pandemic, became the place where people did not only write about work, about projects, about success or activities or achievements, but also the place where people met themselves and where people share their emotions. That was really feeding a community. And these emotional connections really allowed us to maintain a sense of belonging even when distance was absolutely frequent and during a long time.
To face this unexpected event, the company quickly realized that they needed to provide a collective response and make room for emotions and feelings. By allowing employees to use professional tools to share, connect, and express themselves freely, it demonstrated that the work collective extended beyond just working together. 2 years after the end of this initiative, Luciana draws a very positive conclusion. Commitment, cohesion, and team spirit have never been stronger, according to internal surveys. Being a part of a collective should not prevent individual action. That's why FastWeb encourages its employees to spend 5 working days each year on a philanthropic action of their choice. This policy encourages initiative within the group.
Well, solidarity is another way to engage people. We have become this year a benefit company, and we have introduced a new program that we call Settimana del Futuro, Weeks for the Future. It means that everyone can dedicate 5 working days to a cause to support with a social impact or green impact for the planet or for people empowerment or for spreading digital knowledge, which is important for the future of the planet and for the future of people at work and not only at work. This type of solidarity is really a collective value, which has been the novelty of this year. And what our employees tell us about this experience is the joy that they feel in feeling useful to someone else or to the community in their area. And if I do it with some colleagues, I discover a different type of relation with my colleagues too, which can then be a force for our working connection at the office.
This action, which engages the collective outside of the company, gives the opportunity to re-examine the concept of belonging and understanding that it can exist on multiple levels, within a team, at a company, or on a personal level. Beyond its teams and the buildings that the company designs and manages, offices, hotels, and private residences, Covivio has been contributing for more than 20 years as a real estate player to building connections between city users through the spaces it shapes. Today, a place's ability to create connections appears more important and essential than ever before. Covivio reaffirmed this ambition by incorporating into its raison d'être creating well-being and sustainable connections. In our next episode, we'll explore how the search for the collective is echoed in the office spaces Covivio has designed with its partners. You've been listening to Covivio Tracks, Covivio's podcast about living real estate. Thanks for tuning in, and see you soon.